I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Vancouver, we are coming at you. February 28th, 2020. Our live show is going to be held at the Biltmore Cabaret. Tickets are available right now. Doors open at 7. And you're not going to want to miss this because we are sitting down with our new best friend, Maya. She's going to tell us all about the time that she had a horrible head-on car collision that left her in a coma. We'll be touching on avascular necrosis. I don't know what the hell that is. PTSD, osteoarthritis, and, of course, we will also be talking about her upcoming amputation. It's going to be a wonderful night. We can't wait to see your beautiful faces. Again, that is February 28th at the Biltmore Cabaret. Doors open at 7. If you want your tickets, get them now. www.sickboypodcast.com/shows. Mwah.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast that talks about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Ellie, and she shares stories about what it's like living with epilepsy. Let's talk about it.
I feel nice.
It is a little nicer. I will say the lighting situation here is bullshit with the extraordinarily extreme 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fluorescent lights of overhead.
Yeah, they're horrible.
You have turned on a small table lamp, which is reflecting off a wall, and it does get a little brighter,
right? You know the good lamps, like the efficient lamps that, like, they turn on and then they slowly get brighter.
This one gets brighter.
Yeah, that's what Taylor said, and I believe it.
Yeah, but it's so gradual you wouldn't notice.
Well,
until you eventually go, oh.
Probably better that we did this because I have a feeling that these fluorescent lights could very likely give me a seizure.
Oh.
How about that for a segue?
I see what you did here.
Oh.
Have you ever watched?
Ellie, do lights give you, I mean, you have epilepsy. We're going to get into that. But are you one of those people where, like, you're going into the theater and there's like a warning? It's like, this movie has flashing lights. Are you like, well, not for me.
No, that's a rarity, actually. It's like 15% of...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whoa. Oh,
you know, the Simpsons. I think I'm having a seizure right now.
No, that's a stroke.
Oh, yeah. The Simpsons made me think that everyone with epilepsy has a seizure
totally.
When they see the flashing lights.
No, I play
a lot of video games will, like, say that. Like, as they load.
That's right.
You know what? Maddie's uncle is in a new sci-fi, like, kind of thriller mystery show that's coming out on Netflix. October Faction comes out on January 23rd. Said October.
When's the check?
Are we getting paid for this? What the fuck?
When does the check come for that?
Netflix is sending it. But at the start.
Why are you reading this from a script right now?
It's a thrilling.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
But every episode has that.
Netflix.com.
Every episode has that at the top of the episode.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you just blew my mind with that fact.
I think people just don't like lawsuits. They think that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
kinda,
probably right.
Kind of got to save your ass.
Trump likes lawsuits.
What did you say? You said 15%?
I think that's it, yeah.
Of people with epilepsy react that way?
Yeah.
Okay. Not just like 15% of the population.
No, that would
settle.
Be alarming.
I never settle.
For sure.
I never settle.
That'd be a lot. What kind of epilepsy do you have?
Temporal lobe.
And what does that mean?
temporal lobe.
Temporal lobe. I had that at lunchtime today.
Oh, God, Brian.
That was a great joke. Ugh.
A couple of chunks of, like, misbehaving stuff in the left temporal lobe right here, like right above your ear. So
do you know what the left temporal lobe is like? What happens in there? What's that used for, that part of the brain?
A lot of it is verbal, verbal, and a couple of spots for, like, fear, fight or flight kind of stuff.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is in, and how does How's that affected by the sushi stuff going on in your head?
just sort of exaggerated, maybe. Like part of one of the spots that my seizures came from was like kind of the fear center, and I'm like scared shitless when I have a seizure. So
okay,
yeah.
Oh,
that kind of thing.
Like you just get like an overwhelming sense of fear.
Yeah, like the world's pretty much about to end.
Oh, whoa. So that's the like it's coming sort of sensation for you?
Nope. Right in the middle, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're already having it. So
that whole like impending doom kind of feeling.
My dog's been having seizures over the last since the summer. He's had a few. And every time he has one, he can like tell it's coming on. And yeah. I know this because he
writes you a note.
No, it's much, much more sad than that. Wherever he is, he sprints as fast as he can to one of us that's like in the house or around, mm-hmm. and gets as close as he can get. And he's fucking terrified. Like, he looks like someone just hit him over the head,
yeah.
like as hard as they could. He looks terrified and then has the seizure. And then when he comes out of it, he's like just super sad. Mm. So I'm wondering.
That sounds.
I'm wondering if
right.
he has what you have.
No, that's very possible. You never know.
But no offense, Ellie. But there's something about animals having seizures that is just like
way sadder than you having one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't explain it to them.
Okay, wait.
They have no idea. I never know.
I'm getting nervous about the possibility of you just having a seizure out of the blue, like right now. So how likely is it for you to have a seizure right now?
Brian, why are you still smiling like that?
I'm not smiling.
Very not. Very, very small.
Okay, but what, so if you do, and if it's a very small amount, but if you do right now, then what do we do as
Brian,
bystanders?
Put the strobe light away. She said it doesn't do it with the light. Stop it.
Just sit there. Just sit there and observe,
I guess. Don't shove a wooden dowel in your mouth?
Yeah, don't shove a wallet in my mouth or anything.
Is that a thing?
I think I'm referring to the office here. I think that's the first thing that came
okay,
to my mind.
Okay. Yeah.
But don't you remember those, like, they had, like safety videos where it was like, yeah. oh, they're having a seizure, like grab their head, stick something in their mouth.
Yeah, exactly what you're
hold
not
down their legs.
Supposed to do,
like,
Yeah. I have a few friends that are epileptic, and I think everybody who I know is epileptic came to know it later on in their life. Like they never had any seizures for a long time, and then like all of a sudden high school or in their early 20s or something, all of a sudden a seizure. What was your, when did you have your first one?
I think it was 14. They didn't get like intrusive until I was 19, 18, 19.
What do you mean by intrusive?
Like they
oh,
never,
sorry, your seizures. I was like, yeah. The doctors? What? I was like, what?
Well, I mean, kind of. But no, they were really minor. I don't even remember them bothering me, honestly.
Oh, like what is a,
well, because here's the thing.
Form does that take?
We were talking before you guys got here about, I had asked you, Ellie, if you'd listened to, because I think it's been a while since we did epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
and
Carol
was our last epileptic episode.
Dude, flight attendant.
We were still recording episodes in your
mom's basement.
Years ago. And the first thing that Ellie said was, "Yeah, she doesn't have the same epilepsy as me." And what are your seizures called?
Partial seizures. There can be like complex or simple. I'm fairly certain there's a new term for them because they're always updating.
Sure.
But
and Carol's situation was she was having like convulsive seizures.
Yeah.
And like full on passing out and shit.
Right.
Whereas in your case, the way you describe what it's like for you.
Auras are what we were speaking of. There's no like warning sign for me. It's just all of a sudden things are absolutely terrifying. Like you can kind of compare it to sleep paralysis where you feel like there's something in the room that's just gonna completely
scary.
Fuck you over.
Whoa.
But deja vu also, like super,
oh, really?
Super surreal.
That's an aura, or that's like during the seizure?
During.
Whoa, crazy.
Yeah. Very.
Maybe
very,
you're in the Matrix.
It's very possible. You never know.
You're like half trippy. Disconnected. Like you're about to be freed.
But yours are more like you just kind of like blank out, right? Like it's kind of like the lights go off for a second and then you're back in.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of? Like you can't speak to me for sure. Nothing's going to come of that. But
the thing that blows my mind though is that you said you had your first one maybe when you were 14-ish. but it wasn't really intrusive until it was like, until you were like 19. I imagine that if you had a seizure after like never having one your entire life, and then all of a sudden you're 14 and you have some type of seizure, isn't that like scary or enough of like a troublesome sign that you should like be further examined?
Yeah, no, I went to the doctor about it, and I was just misdiagnosed. Like either it was a panic attack or some kind of migraine, which is not even slightly comparable at all.
Okay.
That's so interesting. I mean, obviously that must be because like, it doesn't sound like your seizures take the form at all of what, you know, someone who doesn't have much experience with seizures, their idea of it is like falling down, writhing, you know, the
like us,
whatever that fucking, whatever that, what was that commercial as a kid when they were like, put something in his mouth.
It's like, no.
Yeah.
They put M&Ms
they're on the,
in his
yeah, they're on the playground and yeah, everything.
That was what I was referring to.
Yeah. It was like a, you know, it was a public service, a PSA. And that's like what I feel like everybody remembers, like as a kid seeing that commercial. And that's the idea of what a seizure is. But yours sounds like a completely different experience to that. So
I don't want to stay on the put something in his mouth thing for too long, but like, I feel like I don't know why they brought up the put something in their, don't put something in their mouth or put something in their mouth, because I'm really confused by that message. Was it put something in the mouth?
And at
the
same time, there was a commercial going around that was, don't you put it in your mouth. And you're like, what the fuck? Do we put it in the mouth? Do we not? Or do we? I don't know what to do.
I think the idea was that you wanted to prevent them from biting their tongue off. So putting something in between their teeth would prevent them from chomping down and like, literally biting off a hunk of their own tongue, because they're like, oh, their jaw's going to seize up. If their tongue's sticking out, they're going to bite it off.
But that
quick,
was
stick a wallet in there, or, but, you know, whatever.
But wait, was that a misconception? And they were saying don't stick something in their mouth because people think that you usually do?
No, I think they literally were telling people to do that for years, and then they realized, oh, that's actually like...
Don't do that.
Yeah, because they're likely just going to fucking choke the person.
See, I feel like it was a really confusing campaign.
I thought it was too, and I was very young. So visually, someone's looking at you, you are sitting there and you have a seizure. What does it look like to me?
It just looks like I'm lost in thought, basically.
Whoa.
Yeah, just blanked out.
Just imagining.
Just thinking real hard. Yeah. You know?
That's crazy.
Getting kind of philosophical.
Have you ever faced, like, again, because people go to, like, the thing that's more, you know, like, I guess, like, visually dramatic, if you want to say that. Obviously, you had a doctor that misdiagnosed you. Like, they just didn't even see it as a seizure.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had anybody that's just like, eh. But do you have seizures?
No. I mean, specialists, yeah, obviously, but no. Otherwise,
wild.
No.
Wait, are you like, have you seen The Secret Life of Walter Mitty?
No.
Oh, it's my favorite movie.
It's not a great movie. Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
It's so good.
It's a feel-good movie.
It's so
good. If it's your favorite movie,
it's a 4 out of 10.
I'm okay with saying it's my favorite, but in the movie, Walter Mitty, main character, played by Ben Stiller, who's my favorite actor, he basically has these episodes where he like drifts off and daydreams, and he like lives out these like epic scenes in his life, but then all of a sudden he comes back and people are standing in front of him and they're like, hey, are you okay? What just happened? And he was like, oh shit, I didn't even realize it was totally out of it. Is that exactly like what your experience is like? Except for maybe the epic conquests and things that you do in between.
I guess, yeah, from a spectator standpoint.
Okay, well, you should definitely watch the movie then.
Yeah, you're making me think of That's So Raven, basically.
That's So Raven, way better than The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
No, it isn't.
I would, although I don't think it's, although I think that saying it's his favorite movie is absolutely insane, I'm going to say it's better than That's So Raven. What are you bringing up? Rotten Tomatoes reviews on Secret Life of Walter Mitty?
Yeah.
Against That's So Raven.
That's So Raven.
Wait, what are
the results?
They're pretty close.
Are they really? Well, yeah. Which one's better?
Pretty close.
Rotten Tomatoes doesn't actually give a rating for That's So Raven because it's a TV show, but it does have an IMDb rating. The IMDb rating for That's So Raven, 6.5. The IMDb rating for The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, 4.
Oh, out of 10?
No, it's a 7.3 out of 10. But it got 51 on Rotten Tomatoes, which everyone knows is a stinker.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't have to share the perspectives of everybody else, and I'm quite proud of the fact that I enjoy that movie.
So, Ellie, I know that you you have gone through brain surgery. Mm-hmm. A brain surgery or brain surgeries? I'm having another seizure. Sorry.
The latter, too.
You've had two?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, one of them was like far, far more invasive than the other, but yes.
How does that work? Which one? The first one or the second one more invasive?
First one.
All right. And was it like the old like sort of headphone scar, like ear to ear over the top?
Yeah, just big old like halfway around the head kind of thing. Mm. Yeah.
So are they like peeling your skin back and like removing a piece of your skull and shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. That's so hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so Raven.
It's so Raven. You might say Raven. It's so Raven.
When did you have that?
2010 in November.
Okay. And why? Like, what was the... How old are you now?
28.
And you were diagnosed at 14?
No, started having 14, diagnosed at 18, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, so you had it pretty soon right after you got... After you were officially diagnosed, they were like, surgery the shit out of this.
Yeah,
what, definitely. Was it diagnosed because, like, they started to become more frequent as you were getting older?
Yeah. I don't know. What we determined, I'm pretty sure it's just stress. Like first year university kind of messed me up, I guess.
That brings them on, like makes them more frequent.
Yeah. I'd have like, I don't even remember how, like they're so rare back in high school. I don't even remember mm-hmm. ever having them, but it was like 20, 30 a day after that. So,
whoa. 20 or 30 a day?
Yeah. It was exhausting.
How long do they last?
Whoa. So you were just like terrified all day.
Yeah. I know. I was a nervous wreck. It sucked.
Jesus Christ.
They're Holy only shit. Like a minute or two long, so they're not too much of a time consumer. But they're still something, you know.
That's good to know.
They don't cut into my day too much.
Do you feel, I think I've heard before that you feel like really drained afterwards. Does it totally zap you?
Oh, yeah. I slept like a baby for like a year and a half.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
I mean, shit.
One upside, yeah.
20 or 30 a day, and you're usually awake for what, like 15 or 16 hours or something like that? So you're having like... almost sometimes 2 an hour.
Yeah, well, yeah, they woke me up like out of sleep at night a lot.
Oh, right,
so.
Yeah, right. It doesn't always have to be.
But, yeah.
So, like, when you get diagnosed and they are, you know, almost immediately saying that you should have a surgery, what is it? What is it that the seizures are doing? What is the damage that the seizures are causing? Where they're like, is it a life? Is the purpose of the seizure to like improve your quality of life so you're not having seizures all day long, or is it because the seizures are also, I mean, that and also the seizures are doing damage to you long term that, you know, is going to do more damage in the future if you keep having them?
A whole bunch of the first one, maybe a little bit of the second. I'm not entirely certain, but I can't possibly be good for you to do that all the time.
Right.
But.
So they're pretty much like this is ruining your life.
It'd probably suck if you had one driving a car.
Yeah, you're definitely not allowed to have a license. Yeah.
But because you were only diagnosed when you were 18, did you at least have your license before that?
Nope. Okay. No. Always been terrified. Never did it.
It's 6 months, I believe. Like for people who have epilepsy, it's like you have to be seizure free 6 months.
To touch on your question there, Taylor, sometimes severe seizures can cause brain damage. But most seizures do not seem to have detrimental effect on the brain. Epilepsy has many possible causes, blah, 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 blah. And then generalized seizure symptoms may cause loss of consciousness, falls, or massive muscle spasms. So, like, yeah, like, it obviously not good for your brain to be having seizures. And, like, with the risk of having one and falling down the stairs mm-hmm. or driving mm-hmm. a car and getting a fucking head-on collision or something, like, they definitely, obviously, that's part of the surgery. Mm. But to be having that many a day... Like that just, there is no quality of life.
No. I mean, yeah, no, there was no social life. None of that.
Like, how do you get anything fucking done?
I did excellent in school. I had no friends. That was a really good thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, you do shit all pretty mm-hmm. much.
What do they do to your brain? Like, do you know what the surgery, like,
what they removed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amygdala and a chunk of the hippocampus.
They remove the amygdala.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Yeah, well, you have two of each, so yeah, I still got a couple.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, sorry, the amygdala and the hippocampus, a part of the hippocampus.
I love that word.
It's a nice word. It sounds nice. Kind of like hippopotamus.
Yeah, true. That's a great word,
they're,
too.
They're very, very closely related.
When
do you have a hard time processing emotions now?
Jeremy's over here just playing doctor.
Yeah, because I was like, what does the amygdala do? And it's like it's shown to play a key role in processing emotions. So like, are you a little more like blasé in life now?
Honestly, I could never tell if it was like because I had that removed or because I was no longer just like completely fucked all day. Like, right. I think that probably had the majority of, you know, the positive effects on anxiety and stuff like that. Mm. But it's very possible that, yeah. Having that ripped out kind of helped.
The fear, the sense of fear and dread that you have, is it just like the feeling, like purely the feeling, or is it actually like manifestations of like things that you're seeing or like experiences that you feel like you're having?
I think some people hallucinate. I never did. It was just this sort of like ominous feeling hanging over you kind of thing. But I never saw anything. It's just
an overwhelming fear. So you are in it. You don't.
I hate that feeling.
You don't.
I've had that feeling before.
Yeah. Yeah. You have no idea where it's coming from.
But it's only been so brief. So, like, I just can't even remember.
When do you have it?
I don't know. I actually had it the other day when I was thinking about that plane in Iran. I was just thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, I started to have, like, this really overwhelming sense of, like, just dread the world. I was on acid recently. And I was alone, and I was, and it was nighttime, and I was like, it'd be really awful if some home invaders decided to come into the house now. And I was like, wait, whoa, don't go there. Fuck, this is not the time for that.
That's a really bad combo. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just switched the music, I think. And I was like, oh yeah, no, everything's
that's
good. Yeah.
I've noticed that I've been having almost very similar, like, split second feelings of dread lately, because
jeez, guys,
something that is like very much a part of my personality is like silver lining. Everything's all good. There's no reason to fucking worry about anything in the fucking world.
Ellie's just shaking her head like, fuck you.
Totally agree with you, too.
And like, you know, everything's fine. Like, it's silly to worry about things that you can't control, like that sort of thing. And like lately I've had these like couple of instances where all of a sudden, like going to bed at night and like, you know,
this feeling like you're gonna pee the bed.
No, like, yeah, that's what I'm really dread. That's what consumes me.
You're like, almost 30.
This is it. Like, give Kyla a kiss goodnight, and then like for like very split second, imagine like
I could have a heart attack.
More like something happening to her, but okay. then something happened to me, but like a split second, and then I go,
the fuck
are you doing?
Why am I doing that?
I've never had this thought before in my life. And then I did think, is it because I'm like turning 30 and, you know, within the next year, and like that's a thing that actually does fucking happen when you get.
Well, our world is also like completely fucked. Like we're heading to the end of the line.
Is it because of Trump and Iran?
Like, I'm telling you, man, it is. Especially if you're focusing on the news. I'm not joking. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, the news.
If you're listening to the news, like I'm listening to the Daily, like every day, and then I go, "This is a really good source of news," and it's like I love listening to it, and it's fun to listen to. But fuck me, I think it's also like taking a toll on my life.
But I think the other thing though is that we also live in the greatest time to be alive ever, and like there is an incredible amount of negative news out there, and I feel like, you know, a lot of the media, and you hear about the fake news all the time, but like the media projects this like narrative of fear a lot of the times because it gets people to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so totally.
Like,
well, when things are good, you can like set it and forget it. When things are not good, you're always like, what's the latest? What's the latest?
Exactly.
Like, you got to know because you're looking for an improvement.
But there are objectively a bunch of really horrible things happening right now. It's just a lot right now, I think. Like,
absolutely. Like, the first 2 weeks of January have been fucked.
They were really fucked. Like, especially with Australia. Like, that's, you know, that's not fake news. That's, people are just burning. Like, the world's burning, you know, like that. Anyway, whatever. We're getting fucking off topic here.
Well, to bring it back, Elliot, what is the, in comparison to the state, to the dread that comes over you when it comes to the state of the world, how does that compare to the dread that comes over you when you have a seizure? Like, are they one and the same, or are you having a seizure and you're going, like, you're
Satan is inside me?
Yeah.
I feel like if you take, like, the panic you experience reading the news and just, like, concentrate it into 1 minute, that's probably accurate.
Right. So, it's like the totally undiluted, non-watered down, like, fear in its purest form with no sense of
my favorite. Favorite kind of horror movie.
There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no silver lining.
So are you immune to that sense of dread in reading the news now?
God, I wish. That would have been an upside, but no.
Can we talk about the surgery itself? So, like, you had the surgery at 18 or 19?
19.
Do you have, like, a memory of what that experience was like? Because I can imagine, whether it's now or when I was 19, if someone had told me, all right, we're going to bring you in for brain surgery, we're going to, like, open up your fucking skull and take pieces of your brain out, I'd be mortified. I'd be so scared. It seems like a very intense, invasive, big time kind of surgery. It's like when I think about surgeries that kind of give me a little bit of, ooh, it's like heart transplant, brain surgery, and like that's those two, like heart transplant and like maybe face transplant. I don't know. That just seems like real fucky.
What about the sugar baker technique?
That too. That's another. But also no, not really, because it's organs that aren't as vital. I'm talking like the ones
specifically
where
non-vital.
I'm probably. In my mind, I'm going, I'm probably not going to come out. I'm probably not coming out of it. What was that experience like for you?
It was a really, really long, tedious experience. So, like, near the end, it was like, let's just get it over with. Like, I'm excited. I want this done, kind of. So,
why was it so long?
There's a lot of tests. There's a lot of assessments, a lot of, like, trial meds, that kind of thing.
Are they testing to make sure that you're a good candidate for the surgery, or that it's actually going to do something? Like, what's involved with those tests?
It's partially, like, zero in on precisely what you need to get rid of. And, like, they make you take neuropsychology assessments pre-op and post-op.
And they do that
to, like, focus on what your strong points are, so they don't just ruin it.
What does that look like?
That's super interesting.
It's just felt like an hour-long IQ test, basically. Like, they test different functions, like, you know, verbal, logic and reason, that kind of stuff.
So they're going. We want to give you these IQ tests.
It's a bunch of Sudokus.
And so, like, let's just say you're, like, really good at, like, reasoning problems,
finding Waldo,
and maybe the part that they're going to operate on has something to do with why you're so good at that. They're like, well, we want to be super precise that we don't fuck with that at all. But let's say that you're really, really shit at reasoning problems, and it's in the part that they need to operate on. So they're like, well, we don't really need to be as precise because you're shit at that anyway.
Yeah, so. No, that's very accurate, actually.
That's crazy.
That's so wild.
I was going to say, that's the broiest bro science I've ever heard.
That's pretty wild.
Breaking it down for all the bros out there, man.
It is pretty wild to think, though, that they would look at it that way. I mean, I wonder if there's a way for them to look at it and go, yeah, our math skills are really fucking shit. While we're in there, if we just kind of, like, poke there, we're going to spark that up.
What you think about, like, how fucking precise you would... I mean, like, the whole thing just blows your mind because, like, you're looking at a fucking brain.
Yeah, the CPU.
Like, if we touch this...
Tinker here, tinker there.
The burnt toast test.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but we go a millimeter over and, like...
Oh, speaking of, were you awake?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
I think they considered that, but they got enough information from, like, the ass load of tests they had to have.
That they just don't need to be talking to you during it.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's also crazy, too.
I kind of would have liked that. I would have felt like a badass.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
I bet there was a time in history where they didn't probably have these tests to... Or at least maybe not as well refined or anything.
Or
like that.
Sedation stuff.
And then they would have had to have the person awake. Like, it would have been a necessity, like the burnt toast lady.
I think that's like the story of them doing it the first time.
Dr. Penfield.
I mean, there's so many. There's so many seizure commercials.
Yeah, there's a lot of ads.
Doctor, I smell burnt toast. Put something in her mouth.
Put something in her mouth. Yeah. Don't you put it in your mouth? Oh my god, what do we do?
That's where that started.
That wasn't a seizure commercial. Don't you put it in your mouth?
What was the recovery process like coming out of a brain like a pretty invasive brain surgery?
It wasn't as awful as I would have expected it to be, honestly. Like, sweet. The first week was pretty hellish. My head was enormous.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Swelling.
Yeah, no, I had a couple of, one person that I knew come in and visit me the day after, and I don't think his facial expression changed from just, like, horror the whole time.
That's comforting.
Like, yeah, are we talking, like, the top of your head? Like sort of... Or just the side where they fucked with it?
Yeah, I think mostly like the left side just popping out.
Whoa.
Do they shave your whole head for that?
Only like the spot where they, you know, sliced in.
Okay.
But yeah.
So you have like one of those cool kind of like undercuts then when you're throwing it back out.
Yeah, you want to call it that.
If you want to look at the bright side of things.
Was that... So my mom had bladder cancer a few years ago. And when she was getting ready to go into chemotherapy... one of the scariest things about it for her was actually losing her hair. And, it was like emotionally, it was really challenging. Was that anything that, came up for you?
No. I mean, it was like very, very little. It was a small, small part and it grew back super fast. So,
okay.
Yeah. It was
how big,
not really
how big is the incision that they make?
A couple of millimeters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Deep. Okay.
Like the scar is like, I don't know, 2-3 millimeters wide.
But the actual cut, like how far do they only cut a couple of millimeters?
No, they're cutting into your skull.
Right.
Dude. Do you mean like right, the length of the scar entirely? Like,
yeah.
Oh God. I don't know. Like 11 inches.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. That's what I was thinking.
Millimeters deep. Like how deep it is. That's what you mean by it, millimeters,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think she was talking
millimeters in width of the scar.
Yeah, mostly. There you go.
Okay. You were asking the length of the scar of how long across your head it went.
Yes.
And Taylor's thinking how deep into your skull it's going.
And sometimes three-dimensional space is hard to navigate.
And I'm sitting here seeing all of it.
The reason why I was asking is because you said they didn't have to cut much of your hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking if the scar is really long, which you said it was 11 inches, I assume that they'd probably have to cut a lot of your hair if they're making that much of an incision.
They shaved the side of her head.
Yeah.
They left like a little awkward chunk right here. It just looked like I was making a very poor statement.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
No, it was like, not stylish
like it was
at
a
all.
Bit of a question mark. Like people would go, is
I got so many dirty looks. So
no.
many dirty looks.
Why didn't you just shave it off?
Well, that would have been a lot better, actually.
Maybe it was like a horribly offensive hairstyle from like some era that people were like.
It's like there's the Hitler stash.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't do that anymore. And then there's the.
It was like the Mongols
sideburn.
Guys, have I told the Nair hair story on the podcast?
You have, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I put Nair in my hair once and it was, it probably looked like that. yeah. Anyway.
You sound more embarrassed than you usually do when you tell that story.
I'm not embarrassed.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this very short break.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Why did you get the second surgery and how long after from the first one was that?
4 years, I think. The seizures came back like a little under 3 years after the first operation.
Oh shit. So you were seizure free for 3 years.
Yeah. Just
after your surgery.
Full on seizure free.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When they came back, did they come back with like full force? Like the amount that you were having them before?
No. And they were like ever so slightly different. Like one tiny symptom had gone away and another had like just appeared.
Like what?
First, like the initial seizures, I got this weird, like kind of metallic taste in my mouth. Like I bit my tongue or something, you know, like tasting blood.
Yeah.
That went away for the second ones, but I started like digging into my hands really hard.
Whoa.
And I always forgot that I had them. Like, I only realized at the end of the day when I saw these, like, fingernail marks in my hands.
So was the space, like, the space from, like, the beginning to end of a seizure, was that just, like, blank to you? And then at the end of the day, you'd actually just see marks and go, holy fuck, I've been having seizures.
I was a little more conscious the second time around. I think it was just my memory is kaput. Basically.
Crazy.
When you go through that first surgery and you go seizure-free for almost 3 years, was that the expectation coming out of the surgery? Are they like, yeah, basically this will cure you? Do they kind of give you any idea of when you can expect that you might have another seizure?
No.
Is it just kind of like, hey,
there's a lot of optimism.
Hopefully this just makes you feel better and you don't need to come back and see us again?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. No, so, we thought they were gone.
When they started coming back again, were you like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't even remember it at first. I was like, is that what I thought it was? But yeah, it started like two or three a day.
You start driving often? A car?
What a bizarre feeling of going.
You would be able to, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Weird. It's like a seizure almost.
You're watching TV and you're like, man, this show doesn't make sense. What happened? Like, I feel like I missed a minute.
It's almost as if they just cut a quarter of it out.
Though if the show's moving as slow as Servant moves, you probably wouldn't feel like you missed anything.
Oh, that was slow, a huge burn.
Slow, but they do. They
I like Servant.
Revealing some.
I'm up to date. It's good.
I haven't started watching.
It's a slow burn, but it's slow, good. Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
I had a thought, and then I started talking about the Servant.
What was the second surgery? Like, how did it differ from the first? Because you said the first one was pretty invasive. What was the second one?
You know, EEG tests with the electrodes kind of glued to your scalp.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is stereotactic. So they take like little kind of flexible rods and put them directly in your brain.
What the fuck?
Whoa.
Yeah.
While you're awake?
God, no. No. Okay. Well, I mean, they insert them when I'm out, but
like
I'm just
brain acupuncture.
If you want to compare it to that. Yeah. Yeah.
how long, like rods, like the length of my index finger or like,
I want to say like a little shorter than a pinky maybe.
Whoa, wow.
I could definitely be wrong, but yeah, I mean, you're sitting there for days with these things sticking out of your head.
What?
Yeah. Sorry.
So what did you say this was called again?
They turn you into a porcupine.
Stereotactic EEGs.
Into your brain. So they've already removed, for days, they've removed the skull piece.
Oh, hell no. No. Good Lord, no.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ.
So they go right through it.
They go right through your skull?
Yeah, drill a hole.
Oh, they drill holes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I misled you a lot there, accidentally.
Okay, I was like, so you're just like on a table with a bunch of your skull missing? Holy shit.
That'd be tedious.
Man, that drilling into your skull must be a, I guess they got to drill your skull if they cut a piece open to top. Is that what they did the first time? They cut a piece of your skull off, or did they do the same thing where they drilled in and then like made a hole or something and then?
I feel like they just kind of open it up like a cellar door, basically.
Yeah, I imagine them doing like a square and then just like taking it out like
that's
like,
totally what they do,
like a piece, and then it just fits perfectly back into place, and then it becomes and then it heals back together.
Is that kind of what was happening?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so you just lay there. I just Googled stereotactic EEG, and we've got the photo of this guy's head where there's like it looks like they've just like glued a bunch of like crib pegs to his head and then attached like thread to them or like floss to each one. So is that you were just laying there and all these little rods are in there and then they're reading the shit off those rods or are the rods doing something to your brain?
Well, this is telemetry. Telemetry is like an extended EEG. So you're just in the hospital being monitored like on video, on microphone for however long they need you basically. Mm. So like you know, I'm sitting in a comfy bed. I'm not lying on a on an operating table for 4 days. Right.
And are they asking you questions and like, or are they, you're just sitting there and they're just.
You have a little button to press when you feel like you're about to have a seizure.
Right. They're probably just waiting to like.
They're just waiting to catch a seizure.
Capture a seizure?
Yeah, you're like just sitting there trying to have a seizure. Basically.
Are you allowed to do it? Are you allowed to like read a book? Are you allowed to watch movies? Or are you just...
Yeah, you're just having your, you know, lazy day-to-day life in the hospital with shit sticking out of your head, basically.
Whoa, crazy. What a fucking crazy thing.
I wrote a lot of letters and I read a lot of books.
Is it terrifying? Like imagine having like metal in your head. With like ropes attached to it, and they're just waiting for you to have a seizure and monitoring you. Is it scary? I also know that you said that there's a sense of dread that you're having, but like, you know, I guess rationally in your thinking, is it scary?
The prospect of like rolling over my sleep and ripping them out was scary, but I don't think that was a big risk. They know what they're doing.
It's kind of crazy though, as well. Like, you know, if you break a bone or something like that, and you go to bed, it's like you don't roll over on, like if you break your collarbone, like you don't roll over in bed.
Yeah, but sometimes people roll over onto their babies in bed and kill them.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you're not supposed to lay with a baby in bed.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Sounds like, you know.
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying. But I mean that
it's got dark, guys.
The like internal, like the innate subconscious knowing that your body has when it's asleep, that it's like,
because you feel it,
don't do this.
Yeah.
Like it knows not to do,
because you don't feel the baby until you wake up,
right? And you're not the baby, so
yeah,
you know what I mean.
I do.
Was that an independent article that you read about babies being crushed in their sleep?
No, they're not crushed. They're smothered, dude. It's literally.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I don't know why you're trying to joke about it. It's fucking awful.
I'm not joking about it.
Well, I mean, people who are sleeping with their babies in the bed just shouldn't do it.
Guys. This is terrible.
Just really quick, but I just thought of something, side note, unrelated to seizures. Well, it could be actually. Alex is leaving Grey's Anatomy, so honestly, I don't know. They're going to probably kill him off, and it could be a seizure that they make him have.
I don't know who Alex is, but...
Guys, if we just all be just stay really, silent for a little bit.
It'd be really cool if they gave him CF out of nowhere.
That would be
and
cool.
And he comes out and says, you know what, I had it, guys, but I didn't want to say anything, and because of that, I'm a fuckhead. And then he dies from it.
And then he's like, I listen to Sick Boy now.
And then I'd be like, I got to retroactively go back and watch... How many? There's 189 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
15 or 16.
I'd watch it for that.
Just for the lead up to him saying that he has CF, you'd watch 15 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Somebody would definitely compile
22 episodes per season.
Somebody would definitely compile all the clips with him in it into a YouTube video, where that would be like 40 hours long.
And each clip, he's just like.
he just has a slight cough. Like the writers planted the seed from the very beginning.
You guys never paid attention.
Hey, no, they did that in Red Dead Redemption.
They did.
And it was fucking beautiful.
It was. Yeah. I noticed it early.
You did.
The very first.
You would, though.
The very first cough, I went, he's got cancer or something. They don't ever let people cough in movies.
Yeah, he picked up on that so fast. And you said that to me, and I was like, you said, yo, he's coughing. And I went, what?
No one coughs in like entertainment. That's just not a thing. You will never see someone cough unless it's like in movie. It just doesn't happen.
Do you remember when the first year we started Sick Boy, there was that interview that we did or you did with CBC or
this
whatever.
This is fucking crazy. This is like, Ellie, if you did an interview with CBC and they were like, it was a good interview, but... let's just spice it up a little bit. Every 3 minutes, let's have her just pause and not have her say a word for like 25 seconds. And then we'll just continue her back in. We did a BBC interview.
Right. Yeah.
And I listened back to the interview.
Right.
And I had coughed at one point during like the pre-interview, like before we were in the interview.
To like clear your throat, basically.
And they took that cough and they layered it in throughout the interview, especially while the interviewee was asking questions.
Okay.
And they like, and they even edited it to make it sound like it was like further away from the mic back here. And I was listening and I was going,
I don't remember coughing.
I'm not coughing that much these days. Like, Jesus, I sound like I'm literally dying.
And when you're doing, and whenever we do like interviews or TV or anything like that, like,
I barely cough.
Like, because it's, I mean, it's because like,
you don't do it in TV. You right. just don't do it yeah, in TV.
That was the whole point. Yeah. But anyway, Ellie, I want to come back to you. So you have these.
I gotta pee. I've been having to pee real bad. I gotta go.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I know you're thinking about it at night before you go to bed. That's the feeling of dread that you get. Yeah.
Oh, throwback to a bad joke you said earlier. Right.
No, throwback to a good joke.
I didn't get it.
Okay, so anyway, Ellie, you so you're being monitored, and they're basically waiting to watch you have a seizure. Do they eventually catch a seizure?
Yeah, definitely. No, I think they got like 9 or something.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, a bunch.
And you're there for a couple days being watched, or?
I think it was like 4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah. It didn't go completely right. Like, things had shifted up a little the second time because they didn't take the full hippocampus out. So stuff had kind of, I don't know, spread out a little bit.
Okay.
And like
from the first surgery, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, and when okay. They're putting these things in and they're so in, like, specifically placed that if you put them ever so slightly to the right or something, they're not going to catch anything.
I see.
They'll get like an aftershock basically. But, you know, if it's far off, they're not getting what they're looking for.
So wait, did you have the stereotactic EEG twice?
No, I had just regular EEG, like extended stays twice, but I had the depth electrodes once.
Okay. Now in the depth electrodes thing again, and maybe I already asked this, maybe I had another seizure. but do they, that's just for reading? Like those rods aren't actually doing anything, right? Like they're not, like your first surgery, they're going, all right, we're going to go in and we're going to scoop this out. And that will prevent more seizures. This one, they're going, all right, we're going to go in with these rods and we're going to listen and watch and record.
Yeah, this is just a test.
This is just a test. Yeah. So after the test, like what do they do? Like, do they go, oh, now that we've taken this data, we know that if we medicate you this way, then it'll likely reduce your seizures.
Yeah. Spot on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. And did they add in medication that you hadn't been taking before?
Yeah, we switched around a lot. Like, I can't remember how many I tried. I tried a shitload before the first surgery that did absolutely nothing. And I think like maybe 3 or 4 afterwards after the second one.
But. And is that sort of like, you know, someone with depression or like bipolar kind of trying out meds? It's like trial and error. Like some will make it worse, some will make it better, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Before the first operation, I tried a ton, I don't know, 7 or 8 maybe. And either they did absolutely nothing or they just did bad things like give me a rash or knock me out for a couple of days.
Are you, the second surgery, the prongs in the head, how long ago was that?
Five, 6 years, there's about.
And since that point till now, like once you found that med, after that, have you been on that since?
Yeah, I'm on that for the rest of my life, basically.
What is it?
Like specifically?
Yeah.
Dival, Prolex, and Lamotrigine.
Yes. Dival,
were you on medication after the first operation?
Briefly, but okay. Like a checkup afterwards when I was doing pretty good, we just kind of ebbed off.
They literally were like, yeah, you're cured.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah.
Did they ever use the word cured?
It's very possible.
Whoa,
I mean,
crazy.
It could have been definitely accurate back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I wonder, do they, like...
I feel like doctors, like, they try to stay away from that word.
Yeah, very, very likely.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely never say... like, they don't even use the word remission.
Why?
I don't think anymore.
Why
for
do
cancer.
They... I feel like I know this, but why do they stay away from words like that? Because it's not like they're liable. Because
Ellie got cancer or got epilepsy again. And I hope, I mean, maybe you have cancer too. I don't know.
I think it's the same reason.
We'll save that for another episode.
I know, but like...
It's because they can't. It's liability. Like, I was on the...
But are they liable?
I think... Well, they're probably not liable, but...
Is it more like an ethical thing?
It's probably an ethical thing. It's like when I was on the ground...
You want to get your hopes up, potentially.
When I got hit, I was on the ground, and I was like... The cop was talking to Kyla, and I was like, tell her I'm okay. And he's like, And they're like, Kyla's asking, is he okay? And they're like, he's going to the hospital. And she's like, is he okay? He's going to the hospital.
Well, why can't
he
just say,
is his head attached to his body?
Why can't they just say, he says he's okay?
I think that they're just going, we don't want to say, we don't want to use the word cure because who fucking knows?
I think
we don't want to say he's okay because he might die in the fucking ambulance.
I think it's less about being liable and more about what you said, which is like, if we say you're cured, you're going to walk out of that hospital that day being like, fucking never getting epilepsy again. Woo! And then 4 years later, you're like, motherfucker, you said I was cured and I'm not.
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly. How dare you? And the like, and then all the emotional trauma that might come from that versus saying, hey, things are looking great.
Which is liable.
If you put it that way, if it's like, you go back and say, I now have emotional trauma because you said fucking cured.
Like people can,
yeah, maybe
people can, file us lawsuits about, over that. So,
but is there a way to say that, like, not you're cured, but the way that you were kind of saying it there, Jer, like, hey, look, as far as we can tell, you know, you're good.
Yeah, that's what they say. They just say you're good. You're good.
But like
how good?
And the reason why I ask
cured
is because,
good?
Because I feel like there has to be some level of giving people like, and hope might not be the right word, but like giving them permission to feel positive about their outcome.
Well, they probably say, well, I mean, Ellie, you said that they tell you what they hope to achieve. Mm. Like they're saying, we hope that this will take away your seizures. And so that's kind of like a roundabout saying like, we hope this will cure you.
Yeah. Mm. Cause like when you went back and you were like, all right, I haven't had a seizure in a while. And they're like, yeah. And you know what? That pill you've been taking, don't take it anymore. Mm. Like that's kind of their way of going, you're doing really well. Like things really pretty much couldn't get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point. Like, this is bittersweet. Cause like love the specialists, great people, but like, guess I don't see
you. Don't see you anymore. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And I mean, life changes if you have to go see people and you're like always being, you're always feeling like when you've got appointments and like you've got to do tests and all that stuff, like you always feel like a patient. I mean, I can only imagine that you must have some sense of that. You have to go to clinic every 3 months. Like, are you in a perpetual state of like patientism, like that you're always a patient, or do you have like reprieve from that?
Like, I don't know. Maybe more so the more I get older. Like this past year, I feel like it's been there's been way more of that feeling than the years before.
Like
past year as in 2019.
Do you mean like that you felt
more of a patient more than of a I patient. Had before?
I wonder.
Just,
I wonder.
It
if
was just a rough year.
I wonder how being born with something versus like being diagnosed with something later in life too affects that outlook. Because like if you're born with something and you're forever, you know, dealing with it is.
I'm sure you feel way more as a patient if you're like, you're 32 and someone goes, oh, you've got melanoma and you've been good all the way up till now. Like at that point, I'm sure every day from that fucking day forward, you're like, I'm a patient.
I mean, I
forget sometimes and then I get the mail and they're like, got to come to clinic. I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, in the meantime, like
I'm a patient. Oh, fuck.
It feels really nice to like, to not be in that space, to not be in the headspace of being a patient. Like
even with Ellie, like when you're like, the seizures started coming back, but I was like, wait, was that?
It's like a camp.
Was that a seizure? Like, I can't tell.
I stopped going, or I'm still doing massage and physio now. But in November, I took the month off because I was like, I wonder how much of a role of being in the headspace of like, I'm in treatment. I need this. I need that. I'm like, it feeds you in the way that you're like,
You identify.
There's something with me that I need. There's always something that needs to be fixed. Yeah. Like you're in that headspace.
You see that a lot sometimes on social media.
Man, the brain, though.
With people that...
The brain is so powerful. It's like when Adam was saying, when we were talking to him about his spinal cord injury, and people are saying like, oh, you should be able to go back to work. Like, you should be good. And he's like, what? Is everything that I'm feeling in my head? Yeah. Like, all of a sudden your brain starts to play like tricks on you and you think,
like, am I crazy?
Should I be better? Should I be sicker? I don't know. Like,
speaking of that, how has your epilepsy affected your like work life?
Not very, honestly. Well, I mean, I couldn't have a job until I had the surgery.
Right.
Yeah. That wasn't an option. I mean, nothing where I had to deal with human beings.
Sure.
At all.
Yeah, sure.
that kind of rules
like
a lot of things.
90% of things.
Yeah.
Well, you could be a pig farmer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could be a pig farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
sounds tempting. Yeah.
That's a reference to someone we recorded with last night.
Yeah. What do you do for work?
I'm a baker at a couple of spots around Dartmouth.
A baker?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's great.
Yeah, I eat a lot of crap. It's awful and great at the same time.
When was the last time you had a seizure?
4 years come July.
Holy shit, dude.
Oh,
so,
man.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm good.
So you're cured.
Oh, yeah.
I'm cured.
We'll see.
So that means that you could technically get your license if you wanted it, right?
Oh, yeah, but I do not.
But you
don't.
It
scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
The prospect of, like, potentially having a seizure. Like, if
no,
you had
just
a,
driving in general.
Just driving in general. It has nothing to do with seizure.
No.
If you were to have the type of seizure that you have driving, would it completely, like,
Or would you just get to your destination and be like, oh, Jesus Christ, how the fuck did I get here?
I feel like they were so mild after they came back that maybe I could just sort of find my way to the side of the road if that was plausible.
Man, isn't that a crazy thought that there's like people out there driving right now that like have epilepsy and could have a seizure? Holy shit, that gives me anxiety. I hope I don't ever.
I mean, you can see why I don't want to drive, right?
Man.
Yeah.
Ellie, what would you say is the biggest thing then that your epilepsy has taken away from you?
Damn, that's a tricky question. I mean, it kind of messed with my memory. Like, not so much from the operation. I feel like I remember them saying, like, you were surprisingly not as badly affected as we expected.
How do they know that?
You have those neuropsych tests after as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how you turned out, you know. But, like, the medication I'm on kind of makes me a bit dull.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, a little slow, a little distracted. But that's as of now, like that's about it. Back then, obviously, you know, everything sucked. But
yeah, social life, everything.
Do you view it as like kind of, you know, small price to pay for not having 30 a day seizures?
Yeah, no, I'd take the surgical saw to the skull any day, honestly. That was a small price to pay, yeah.
That sounds so hardcore.
What would you say is the biggest thing that your epilepsy has given you?
Definitely a lesson in just like don't let wussy little fears hold you back from getting better, I guess. Mm. You know, just stop being a pussy. Basically.
right.
Amen.
Yeah. Step up. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because like I was, you know, I knew that you had brain surgery and I know from the way you felt about it from reading your application, but I think it's kind of important to hear the perspective of someone who went into something that for a lot of people, the thought of that is like daunting as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear someone who's like, yeah, but
yeah,
it's
not
as bad as like one might think.
I was not at all scared. Like, I just wanted it to be done. I wanted stuff to get better. But like the morning of, I was like, you know what? I'm fucking fine. I don't need to do this. This is fine. Like, I'm fucking going home. But
right.
Other than that, you know.
But also it's like
I'd feel the same way.
It's funny that it's ironic that your seizures or like feeling this impending sense of impending doom. So it's like, mm-hmm. how scared can you be about the procedure, going through the procedure that's not going to make you feel that way anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can obviously be scared as fuck, but...
but no, it's definitely not saying I wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for carving out some of your day today to come hang out with us and chat about...
I thought you were going to say brain.
You could have.
Could have. Wouldn't have made much sense. Thanks for carving out some of your brain
power.
So that we could do this today. I'm so glad you had that surgery.
Brain power.
Thanks for carving out some of the brain power. Yeah, that's another way of doing it. Any other options of what I could have fucking said?
Really, really glad. Really glad you're cured.
But yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And go to Apple Podcast and hit the subscribe button and leave a rating and a review. That way we can kind of keep up on the Apple Podcast charts and more people can see the conversations that we're having. Really important.
And head on over to patreon.com/sickboy if you would like to contribute to our Patreon page. Everybody who has contributed in the past, we love you. All of our patrons right now, thank you so much.
Do we send out those gold watches yet, or are we saving those for the people who sign up right now?
Those are Patreon. For the people that will sign up on this episode only.
Gold watches?
Very special edition. Very, yeah. very gold.
When you sang the Patreon thing, Tay.
Yeah? Like, okay. Go to patreon.com/sickboy, SICKBOY.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, then.
Thanks, Donovan, for making that sound.
For auto tuning that.
Yeah. And and thanks for making
Do
it sound.
Do you believe okay. in love after love?
Oh, my God, dude. I am.
Thanks for making that sound
so embarrassed.
Shittier, Donovan. And thanks for making it sound like...
You know what, Donovan? Hold on. Isolate that. Replay it. Remix it. Fucking throw it down right here. Do you believe? All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for making it sound like I got a skill saw to my head after that.
Oh my god, damn,
geez,
dude.
This is a big one, Donovan.
I need a lobotomy after hearing Taylor's singing voice. So. Oh. Yeah, thanks a lot. And thanks for all the work that you do. You're amazing.
Thanks, Take Part. Thanks, Jamesy. Thanks, Jeff Lones. And thanks, Lauren, for being a part of our team now. That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Ellie.
And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.